We want to talk today about a very practical subject. The simple things in life are often the best, and often are the things that we need to remind ourselves of. Are you currently, right now, this very moment as I speak, filled with the Holy Spirit? Now, you don't need to answer that out loud. We would all like to hope that we are, think that we are, believe that we are, or desire to be. But what does that involve? And that's what we're going to look at today. The Holy Spirit can be in you, and yet sometimes you can know very little of His power and influence. And again, as we mentioned last time I was with you, the issue is not how much of the Spirit that you have, because if you know Christ, you have all of Him. The issue is how much of you does the Holy Spirit have? All of you, part of you, some of you, areas that you relegate to Him. View Him as an indwelling guest in the home that is your life. Is He allocated to a few particular rooms, but other rooms are kind of hands off? You don't go there. We don't want you kind of nosing around in places that we'd rather you not be. In John 14, it says this in verse 16, "And I will ask the Father," Jesus is speaking, "and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you." The Holy Spirit's permanent indwelling of all believers was not something that was known prior to Pentecost, but it's one of the great truths of the New Testament. In this current age in which you and I are privileged to live, the Holy Spirit would not just come alongside us, but He would come in us and in all of us. His work is amazing. And I want us to answer, or seek to answer today, two questions. What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And then, how can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? You see, here in Ephesians, and those verses that were just read for us, we see that it's possible to be a follower of Christ, and yet not very careful in how we live. We can be unwise. Look at verse 15. We can not utilize our time well. We can be oblivious to what the will of God is. And that leads us all right up to verse 18, where it says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation or debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." So the concern is never that you don't have access to the Spirit's fullness. The concern is, what place are you giving the Holy Spirit in your life? That not only does He desire to have, but that He deserves to have. And this is the purpose of the Spirit's filling. He wants to control your life so that you won't fall asleep, so that you won't waste your time, so that you won't be unwise, so that you won't walk around oblivious to what it is that God desires for you to be and to do. You see, the more consistently you and I are filled with the Spirit, the faster we're going to grow in Christ. And I think that's why sometimes we meet people who are brand new babies. They haven't been walking with Jesus for a very long period of time, and yet they seem to be so incredibly mature. And I think that's made possible because they recognize the ministry that the Holy Spirit of God has. You see, God gave us his Holy Spirit because he knows something that you and I tend to forget. And that's this. It's impossible for you and I to live the Christian life on our own. If we could do it, we wouldn't need the Holy Spirit. If we could pull it off in our own strength, we wouldn't need his power to do it. That's why Jesus said in John 15, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And we believe that. And yet practically sometimes we don't. I've got this. I can do this. And we're not living in that conscious dependence upon God. And that's why he has sent us a helper, an enabler. Because our flesh today is as corrupt as it was all those many years ago before we even knew Jesus. Romans chapter 7 and verse 18 says this, For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I can't find it. It seems to elude me. This means that in our own strength and our own attempts at self-improvement, you and I will never be more successful today than we were when we were lost and not in the vine, if we're not living in the Spirit. You see, the Christ life is a supernatural life, and we need supernatural help to live it. Now let's look at Ephesians 5 and verse 18. Next slide, please. In light of these four truths that we can take out of this verse. The first thing, this verse is a command from God. To be filled with the Spirit is a command. It's not a suggestion. I'd really like you to. This is my utmost desire for you. Boy, it'd be nice if you would be filled with my Spirit. No, it's a command. There are no commands in the Bible to be baptized or indwelt with the Holy Spirit. As these are blessings that we saw last month that we automatically receive when we come to Christ. So that's the first thing. It's a command. Secondly, it's for everyone. In the Greek, the command is in the plural, which simply just means as we read verse 18, we need to recognize it applies to every believer. Being filled with the Spirit is not for an elite few. It's not for Brother Hawk, but not for Brother Red. It's not for Sister Sonia, but not for Sister Elizabeth. There's no discernment. Secondly, God does it. The command in the Greek language is passive. And here's what that means. This indicates that it's not something that we do, but we allow to be done in us. You are not to be filled. No. You are not to be You are to be filled not by yourself. In other words, you're not the one that does the filling. Someone else does that for you. You are the object of the action. You are the one who's going to be acted upon. The content of the filling is the Holy Spirit himself. And he is the one who desires to fill your life. And we either accept that openly and willingly, or we don't. But we're not the ones that actually do it. You can resist the filling, but you can't fill yourself. Does it make sense? It's like we can resist doing that which we know to be true. But we'll never be able to do what we know to be true unless he does it through us. There's kind of a mysterious synergy that exists between us and the Holy Spirit. So the filling is entirely the work of the Spirit himself, but he only works through our willing submission to him. It's kind of like he's the glove. He says, come on, just let me feel that. But we resist. We make a fist. And we try to, and we just can't get it on. We can't seem to be filled by the Spirit. The fourth thing in this passage, or this verse 18, it's in the plural. It says, keep it up. In the Greek, it literally means keep on continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. And the present aspect of this command indicates you can't rely upon past filling. We all love memories, don't we? We keep scrapbooks for that reason. We take photos and we put them in the scrapbook. And we can remember back, oh, I remember that, oh man, that was an awesome time in my life. I was so filled and controlled by the Spirit of God, it was awesome. We don't live or rely on past fillings. We don't live in expectation of a future filling. We can rejoice in the past, we can hope for the future, but we can only live in the present. And it's kind of like a marriage. The mark of a good marriage relationship is not the love and the devotion that a husband and wife had back when they first got married. When everything was just, you know, dreamy, rose-colored, awesome. As meaningful and as lovely as that might have been. Nor is it the love and the devotion that the couple hope that they have in the future. The strength of the marriage is the love and the devotion that they have right now in the present. And that's what it's meant to be in the filling of the Spirit of God. It's continuous, it's ongoing. Think of the analogy of eating and filling your petrol tank. Food and fuel, when depleted, leaves the stomach or the petrol tank empty. The food or fuel, when it's gone, must be replaced. Now, even though the filling of the Spirit is truly an experiential concept, don't ever think that if you're not filled with the Spirit, that you're left empty. He doesn't leave you, okay? The depletion of the Spirit's filling is the loss of the experience and of the enjoyment of the full benefits of his presence in your life. It's like you're not experiencing that. You're not enjoying that. So what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? What does it mean? Well, maybe before we look specifically at what it means, let's clarify some things that it's not, okay? It's not some dramatic, obscure experience where all of a sudden we're just zapped or energized as a result of something and that we speak in some ecstatic, previously unknown to me language or heavenly dialect, or I have some unearthly vision. It's not a progressive little thing of getting little smidgens of him over a period of time. It's not that. Because a person who does not have the Spirit, Romans teaches us, does not have Christ. And whoever believes in me, Jesus said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. But as he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given. See, Jesus was looking forward to that. So this command to be filled includes the idea of conscious continuation. Being filled with the Spirit is not an optional extra, but it's mandated. So what does it mean to be filled? Well, as you see there on the slide, to be filled with the Spirit is to be moved along in our Christian life by God Himself. Kind of like the wind, if you will, in the sails. Remember how it talks about how do people pick up pens and write down the Word of God? How did that happen? How can we know that this book is the breath, the exhalings of God? How can we know that sinful men like you and I, but men who were inspired by God to write this book, how can we know for sure that what they wrote was accurate? Well, listen to this. In 2 Peter 1:21, it says this, "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were moved or carried by the Holy Spirit." They were moved along or carried along by the Holy Spirit. That's the idea. That's what it means to be filled. It also has the idea of permeation. Permeating. It's used of salt permeating meat in order to flavor and preserve it. God wants to permeate our lives. He wants to saturate our lives. He wants our lives to be so marinated by the presence and power of the Spirit of God that whatever we think, whatever we say, whatever we do will reflect His presence in our lives. It's the word filled is used in the New Testament and other places and has the connotation of control, total control. Listen to this. In Luke 4, it says this, "And all the synagogue were filled with rage as they heard these things, and they rose up to cast him out of the city and led him to the brow of a hill on top of the city in order to throw him down the cliff." That's how ticked off, how filled with rage they were at Jesus. So the rage took possession of them. Why? Because Jesus was challenging them about their unbelief. In Acts 13, it says this, "But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul." So they were filled with jealousy at the success of Paul and Barnabas, and they launched out and attacked them. So clearly, control is the idea that's behind filling. When you are filled in the New Testament sense of the word, it means somebody or something has taken command in your life, and now they're pulling the strings. You're no longer in control of yourself. Because this person or this thing has so overwhelmed you, has so taken over, that they're now controlling your life. You see, being filled with the Spirit detaches you from you. It detaches you from the desires, the standards, the objectives, the fears, the system of this world, and it gives you a vision of God like nothing else. Being filled with the Spirit makes everything else of secondary importance, sometimes of no importance at all. Next slide, please. Notice how this command is preceded in verse 18 by telling us not to be drunk with wine. So a very common metaphor about alcoholic consumption and intoxication is placed right in front of be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, how does a drunk person get drunk? By drinking, okay? And the more they drink, the more intoxicated they become. And the more completely the alcohol inside him controls him. So when a person gets drunk, another power takes over. We hear the expression often enough, he's under the influence. All right? The substance transforms him into something that he was not before. Okay? Still the same person, but his behavior now, his moral sensibilities, his ability to restrain, his ability to think clearly changes. So what alcohol is to the body negatively, the Holy Spirit is to the spirit positively. The Holy Spirit enables you to walk. And by walk, I'm not just talking about peripatetic action, okay? I'm talking about lifestyle. So he makes you live in ways that you wouldn't normally live. So no longer do we have these excuses, these human excuses. Well, that's my personality. That's my temperament. That's the way I was raised. I'm a product of my culture, of my environment. I've always been like this. I'm only human, for crying out loud. Give me a break. You know, if all of those excuses have merit, then we ought to chuck our Bible in the bin and walk away from it. Because we don't have a hope. You see, that's the natural man speaking. That's not the spirit-filled person speaking. The Spirit transforms us supernaturally, so we should spend time being filled, not trying to change. A sober person doesn't have to try to stagger or change their personality. All they have to do is get drunk. And the alcohol will take care of the rest. You see why Paul is using that analogy between someone who's drunk and someone who's under the Spirit's control? Now, there's a Bible example of that. The Jews in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost were accused. These newly spirit-filled believers, they were accused of being filled with wine. Let me read it to you. People were mocking and saying, they're full of sweet wine. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared unto them, Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give heed to my words, for these men are not drunk as you suppose. See, Peter and the company were under the influence of an unseen, unknown power. And those observing couldn't figure it out. So they said, well, they just got to be drunk. The filling of the Spirit of God will energize you sometimes with such a supernatural overflow that people are going to be hard-pressed to give a definition to what's happening into your life. Even today. Even today. Now, let's consider another angle of the drunkenness sort of contrast that Paul uses here. What do many people drink for? I mean, what's one of the reasons why a lot of people drink? And it's for artificial tranquility. It's to be happy. Hence, a lot of pubs still advertise happy hour. We all want to be happy, but there's a problem. The days are evil. So where do you turn when the days are evil and you're frightened or you're discouraged or you're depressed or you're anxious or you're wondering, what is it all about? And Paul pleads with us. He says, don't turn to alcohol, turn to the Spirit. There's a better way to cope with the days in which you're living. It's to be filled with the Spirit. and you will know unmatched joy, and you will sing and make melody in your heart unto the Lord and among each other. You see, the fundamental meaning of being filled with the Spirit is being filled with a joy that comes from God, and that it overflows in song. Next slide, please. Luke would agree with that too, because look what he says in Acts 13. And the disciples were continually being filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Without a doubt, when a person is filled with the Holy Spirit, they're going to have a boldness in their proclamation of the gospel in the face of opposition. But the reason for that is because the joy of the Lord is your strength. It enables you to do that. So when you are happy in God and strong in His grace, it's going to overflow in joy. Even the psalmist said, "You have put gladness in my heart more than the season that their grain and wine increase. I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety." Next slide, please. So, how we are filled with the Spirit is kind of a simple thing. I want to look at these points. These aren't boxes that we tick, but they are ways in which we can know how to be filled with the Spirit. The first one is this: meditate on what God has said in the Spirit-inspired Scriptures. Now, I want you to consider a comparison between Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3. In Ephesians 5, it says, "Be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart." Then in Colossians 3, it says this: "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God." The command of letting the word of Christ dwell in you stands in the place of the command of being filled with the Spirit. Why? Because the indwelling of the Word is the way in which we experience the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You see, He's referred to as the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit loves truth. So when you and I are allowing the Word of Christ to dwell in us richly, we're providing all the spices, if you will, in which the Spirit of God can marinate and flavor and literally control every aspect of our life and behavior. So if you want to be full of the Spirit, you pursue getting full of the Word. Let it richly indwell you. Secondly, believe what you're hearing and seeing as you're in the Word. In Galatians, it says this: "Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do it by works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Answer: the hearing of faith. The Holy Spirit is supplied to us, and He works powerfully in us as we hear the Word with faith. In other words, as we believe it, we take hold of it, we meditate upon it, and as we do that, we begin to experience as we believe, yes, this is what God said. See, every sin that we ever commit in life can be traced back to one: unbelief. Every sin is an expression of unbelief, a failure to believe that God is who He says He is and that His promises are really true. And we waver at that. But the Spirit of God says, look, if you saturate your mind in the Word and you really believe that to be true, I'm there. And I'm going to so fill and take control of your life that we'll go through this together. Thirdly, hold fast in obedience to what you hear and what you believe. One of the disciples asked Jesus, he said, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. If we believe this book, and we hold fast to it, if we believe it as the only treasure that our life ever has, as we hold on to it in faith, we nourish the Spirit of God's presence. And then thirdly, or fourthly, desire the Spirit. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And now this he said, is to them about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. Thirst for the Spirit. Long for the Spirit. The psalm says, drink from the river of his delights. As the deer pants for the flowing streams, my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you, for the living God. This is what it means to seek the Spirit. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Don't wait for something that you can experience now. Seek him. And if you don't believe that, listen to what Jesus said. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father do you know among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Just ask. God, I can't fill myself. But what I can do is I can so saturate my mind with your word. I can so believe that word to be true. I can so live in loving, faithful dependence upon that by being obedient to you. Lord, I desire that you would fill my life to overflowing. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and fill this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, wine of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Father, that's our desire, our prayer this morning. We want to be people who are continually experiencing the overflow of your presence in our lives.